Welcome back, everybody, to Wednesday Night Beyond the Parsha, where we take topics from the Parsha and we show the relevance to our every single day life. We try to keep things relevant, keep things timely, so we are able to relate to everything that's going on in the Torah and everything that we are supposed to be seeing in the Torah. And tonight we are going to talk about the timeless topic of tefillah, because we know that we interact with prayer every single day, hopefully multiple times per day. And it's not even just those three times per day that are set out, Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, but bringing God into our lives is the goal. When we are struggling with whatever it is that we're struggling, we look up and we say, Hashem, help me. And even though we're not saying any practical words of tefillah, that is still considered some sort of tefillah, which is important to know. It's important to understand that our goal is to go ahead and bring God into our lives. In fact, the Kuzari in his Sefer, he writes that the chassid, a pious individual, not talking about general chassid in specific, talking about the chassidim who are pious individuals, like we see in the times of the Gemara, they're pious individuals. So they would plan all day for prayer. Tefillah was the highlight of the day. Just like Shabbos gets us through the week, knowing that we're able to get to that weekend, get to Shabbos, that's what tefillah does for us throughout the day. This is why generally the Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv spread throughout the day, because each place is supposed to get us to that specific moment. And Shacharis and tefillah in general has the opportunity to be kind of therapeutic for us. We're able to meditate in some capacity, where we're able to go ahead and really feel connected to Hashem, feel connected to something bigger than ourselves. And it's a way for us to say, God, my problems are yours too. And we're supposed to feel different after we daven. And if we don't feel any different after we daven, we should really start to think, why not? It's something that should certainly get us thinking. But what I want to do today is talk about the power of prayer, talk about how we know that we need to daven, and then get into maybe why it's difficult to daven. Some of the things that we may struggle with in terms of our mindset going into tefillah, I think it's some fundamental ideas, stuff which is so important, especially for us now. We just finished Tisha B'Av, Tu B'Av, Baruch Hashem today, Tu B'Av. We have the opportunity to daven for others, daven for so many different things, the big Shidduchim push. We know so many people who are struggling. Something which is so important to tefillah, there's such an emphasis on tefillah as we come up to the Yom Nuraim, it's something which is really so crucial and something which we should all have in mind. So first of all, how do we know that we even need a daven? Where does any of this come from? How are we supposed to know that there is such a chiyuv to daven? So this is source number one. Source number one is our parsha. V'hayayim shemot tishmuel mitzvosai asher anochi mitzvescham hayom. This pasuk should sound very familiar because it's from the second paragraph of Shema. Li'avas Hashem Elokechem uli'avdo b'chol levavachem. So says the pasuk that if we will listen to the commandments which we were commanded to do today, to love Hashem, big topic, what exactly is Avas Hashem, how do we do this? And to serve Him with all of your heart and all of your soul. The question is, what does this pasuk mean when it says to serve Hashem with all of our heart and all of our soul? If you look at Rashi in source number two, I tried to put as much English there as anyone would want. If anyone wants a copy of the source sheet, I can definitely email. Just leave in the comments that you want a copy of the source sheet. Rashi in source number two tells us, we avdo b'chol levavachem, and we see that we have to serve Hashem with all of our heart and soul. What's this referring to? Says Rashi, avoda shehi b'lev. And this is a quote, the Gemara and Tainus talks about this on Daf Beis. This is the avoda, the service that we do with our heart. What's this referring to? Vizuhi tefillah. This is referring to tefillah, to davening. Sha tefillah kruya avoda, because tefillah is considered avoda. When we say Torah avoda, gemilas chasadim, avoda nowadays, instead of the karbanos, which we no longer have. Unfortunately, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but we do have the tefillah, which may be keneged karbanos tikkun. They might be instead of the karbanos. And the Smag even adds that tefillos are better than karbanos. We're able to relate to them better, even though karbanos, what exactly it's going to look like, how it's going to look eventually when we do get a Beis HaMikdash, bigger question. But this is avoda. This is what we get to do. And he quotes a bunch of different psukim that we have the opportunity to daven and to go ahead and serve Hashem in that capacity. And from all of this, it seems pretty clear that davening is a mitzvah mideoraisa, something that we take very seriously on a Torah level. Now, we do mitzvos midirabbanan also very seriously, but it's always important to know when something is deoraisa or derabbanan. And based on this, on the Gemara, on the Pasuk, on Rashi, the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tefillah, Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Mitzvah Saseh, source number three, Mitzvah Saseh lehispalo b'chol yom. It is a mitzvah saseh. It is a mitzvah mideoraisa to daven every single day. Shemar va'avad temes Hashem Elokeichem. Mipi Hashmu alamdu she'avoda zuhi tefillah. And we learn out that avoda is referring to tefillah. Shemar we avdo b'chol v'avachem. Amru chachamim ezohi avoda she'belev zu tefillah. What's this avoda, that this service of Hashem that we do with our hearts? It is tefillah. But then he says, "Ve'in minyan hatfilos min hatorah, ve'in mishnah hatfilah Hazos min haTorah ve'ein l'tfilos zman kavua min haTorah. So it's important to know just the concept of davening is mi deoraisa, but mi derabanan. We have the times, we have the minyanim, we have the text. But just in terms of the fact that we need to daven, and so far if you just look at the Rambam, how many times per day do you need to daven? It sounds like just once. We'll get to that, how exactly that kind of changed, or it did change mi derabanan, but at least mi deoraisa, you would only need to daven one time per day. The Gemara goes on and tells us that we have Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov for Shacharis, Mincha, and Marv. Told over the joke many times, Rabbi Jacobson likes to say, we know the Jewish day starts with Marv. So you would think that Avram would do Marv, and then Yitzhak Shacharis and Yaakov Mincha, but we know that it's Avram Shacharis, Yitzhak Mincha, and Yaakov Marv. So what's the pshat? So Rabbi Wai thought the pshat was that Yaakov had 12 kids, and when it was bedtime, oh, sorry, I wish I could stay, but it's Marv, I gotta go to Marv. Okay, so probably not the pshat, but always a funny joke nonetheless. But says the Rambam, the halacha is midah oraisa, you need to daven to Hashem once a day. Now, what's this davening? Again, the text is only derabanan. You got to just look to Hashem and say, Hashem, help me out with whatever's going on, or thank you for whatever's going on. The way that we daven, though, we know that we daven with shevach, and then bakasha, and then hodah. The way our tefillah is set up, we first praise Hashem, we then go and ask for things, and then we go ahead and thank. Just like if you're going to a parent or to a child and asking for something, you wouldn't just call up and say, hi, I need this. You would talk to them for a few minutes and warm them up, butter them up, and then go ahead and ask for some things similar to what we do in terms of our Shmoneh Esrei, but the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah mideoraisa, and the Rambam concurs with himself, meaning he goes l'shitaso, and he says that this is a mitzvah. If you look at source number 4, in source number 4, the Rambam in mitzvah saseh number 5. So we know the Rambam is one of the Rishonim who has a count of the mitzvos. How many mitzvos are there? There are 613. How do we know that there are 613 mitzvos? So we just know that. It's one of the things that everyone knows. Uncle Moshe always taught us that. No, even more than that, because the Torah tells us, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Mora Shah Kehilas Yaakov, also an Uncle Moshe song. But how do we know that this is that? Because the gematria of Torah is 611, and then the two that we heard from Hashem directly on Har Sinai, last week's Parsha, that gets us to 613. So we have 613 mitzvos, but there's a big machlokas what the 613 mitzvos are. So the Chinuch had a count, the Rambam has a count, the Smag has a count, many people have a count of what the mitzvos are. Now the Rambam, in his count, and the fifth mitzvah saseh, says the Hamitzvah Hachamishis Hishetz Ivanu against source number 4 La'avdo Yisale Kvar Nichpal Tivoy Ze Pa'amayim. He points out that Tefillah, that's really what we need to be doing. This is Mitzvahs Asay number 5, a very crucial one, something which is so important to go ahead and reach out to Hashem. Comes the Ramban. Now the Ramban in his Asagos HaRamban in source number 5, L'Sefer HaMitzvos. So the Ramban had many comments on the Rambam, and he was upset that the Rambam either didn't include certain things which he felt should have been included in the count of mitzvos, or he did include things that he didn't think that should have been included in the count of mitzvos. Big machlok is how many mitzvos exactly there should be. Is every mitzvah midorabanan really mitzvah midoraisa if the Torah says that you're supposed to listen to the rabbis? So how exactly does that work? Not our topic from right now, maybe another time on a Wednesday night. But the Ramban has many comments on the mitzvos that the Rambam either says or leaves out. One of the more famous ones is that the Rambam leaves out the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says, why do you leave that out? So big topic over there, why? And he gives rules about the Rambam, when the Rambam would count certain things. But the Rambam, he says, the Ramban says, he should not have counted this as a mitzvah. Tefillah is not necessarily a mitzvah, and this is not what the psukim really meant. So if you look at the bolded part of source number 5, it's very long. I wanted anyone to who wants to see it to be able to see it. So v'in haskama b'zeh. So he quotes the Rambam and he says, but I disagree. Shekvar beru hachachamim b'gemara tefila derabanan. Because the Gemara already tells us, and we already know that tefila is only a mitzvah midirabanan. K'moshe amru b'shlishi shelo brachos linyan bal keri shekore kriyashma v'varech ha'amazon. Because we see certain times that people are putter from davening. How could you possibly be putter from davening if it's a mitzvah midiraisa? It doesn't make any sense. So then the Ramban goes on and he says, even if you're going to try to say that it's partially midoraisa, it wouldn't make any sense. But then if you look at the last part that's bolded, v'hi mitzvah al kol tzara v'tzara shetavu al atzibor litzok lefanav b'tfilu v'trua. So comes the Ramban and he points out from the fact that we see v'chisavu milchama ba'artzachem, when there's a war, the Torah tells us that you need to go and daven, you need to blow the shofar, and how the shofar functions really as a tefillah. We'll talk about that as we get closer to Rosh Hashanah. But the Ramban says, even though I hold that tefillah is only going to be derabanan, I have a situation where everyone agrees that tefillah is going to be deraisa, and that is when it's in eis tzara, when someone is going through some sort of difficult time, when someone is dealing with something that is very tough, someone is going through a very challenging period in their life. they have to go ahead and turn to Hashem. That is a mitzvah of tefillah mideoraisa. So Rav Salvechik has a classic explanation as to what this machlokes is really about. Again, the Rambam says that tefillah is mideoraisa, and the Ramban says it's only mideoraisa when you have an ace tzara, when you're going through a tough time, but otherwise you don't have to have tefillah, at least on a Torah level. Still, very much recommended midrabbanan, and the Ramban and Parshas Bo talks about how fundamental shul is and how fundamental tefillah is to everything that we do. But in terms of it being a real mitzvah mideoraisa, that's where the machlokes seems to come in. So the Rav Rav Salvechik explains that their machlokes isn't about tefillah, has nothing to do with how important tefillah is. Rather, their machlokes is how do we define an ace tzara? What's considered a difficult time? Really, both of them agree that you only need to daven when times are tough, when you're going through something tough, when you really need something from Hashem. You have that chola that just, you need to feel better. Someone struggling with a shidduch tuba'av, parnasa, whatever it may be, that's when you need to daven. But says the Rav, the machlokas is just what's considered an ace tzara. According to the Rambam, every single time we wake up, it's an ace tzara. Who knows if we're going to have another day of life? Who knows if we're going to be able to get what we already have, or get what we think that we would need, or get what we would want? Every single situation in our lives is considered an ace tzara. The Ramban disagrees, and he says, no, only the bigger things are an ace tzara. But says the Rav, it's a very important lesson the Rambam's teaching us in how we're supposed to view every single thing that we have. Nothing's a given. We see how in life anything can change in just 1 second, for the positive or for the negative, and it's so important that we go ahead and keep that perspective and understand every single day is an ace tzara. Every single second is an ace tzara. We always have to be davening. There's always going to be a mitzvah mideoraisa to daven. Now the question, though, that we would need to figure out is what's so important about an ace tzara that we would need to turn to Hashem? Okay, so everyone agrees when it comes to a davening at a troubling time that you need to go ahead and daven. Everyone agrees that that's going to be a mitzvah mideoraisa. But why? What would be behind this pshat? What's the Rav really trying to tell us? How are we supposed to understand this? And l'chora, probably what the answer is that it really represents our emunah. The halacha demands of a Jewish person that when things are tough, we recognize that everything comes from Hashem. When we take a minute during a difficult time and we turn to Hashem in that moment, we are showing and we are proving that we believe that everything is really up to Hashem. Everything is determined by Him, and that's the bottom line. There's a bigger picture that we don't always see. Hashem is running the show, and we just don't see the whole picture. We're not able to see the whole painting right now. One day when we're taking and seeing the bigger picture, we might be able to understand, but we cannot fully understand. But we certainly truly believe that everything comes from Hashem, and this is something which would be so fundamental to our belief system. Really, it's a din and emunah. So that's why everyone would agree when there's an ace tzara, of course you need to turn to Hashem in that time. And this is actually shown really beautifully by a tshuva of Rav Moshe. If you look at source number 6, I know again it's long, but we're not going to read the whole thing, just there for anyone who wants to look. So Rav Moshe in his Igros Moshe, Or HaChaim Chelek Beis Simen Chav Hei, look at the question that he was asked. Pinyan tefillah leben Noach, im yesh lo mitzvah, ubinyan tefillah be'ez tzara. And he talks about when it was given. Fine, so what's the question? Do non-Jews have to daven? Are they chayiv to daven? So we would think, daven, non-Jews, of course not. What are the non-Jews chayiv in? They're chayiv in the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. What are the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach? So the way to remember it is Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and then the big three. So what are the big three? The big three we know are Gilui Arayos, sexual immorality, Shvichos Damim, killing, and Avodah Zarah, doing Avodah Zarah. And what's Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet? So Aleph is Aver Menachai, Beis is Birchas Hashem, which is a nice name for, you're not going to curse Hashem. Gimel is, blanking here, Aleph, Beis, Aver Menachai. What'd you say?
Gzela.
Gzela, very good, thank you. And Dalet is Din. You're not allowed to do Din. So those are the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So of course they're not going to be Chayiv in davening. Davening's not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So says the Rav Moshe, let's look from the beginning of the answer. Hinei le'inyan ben Noach im mechuyav b'tfila. Pashat she'enu mechuyav. Of course they're not going to be Chayiv. Dehalo nimnu meha mitzvahs dechayiv b'nei Noach. This is not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, as it's explained in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. B'chein lo hizkara Rambam, and the Rambam doesn't mention it either. This is not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Now look at the beginning of the bold part. U'inyin im yeshlo mitzvah kishem ispala l'Hashem, nira sheyeshlo. So granted, they're not chayiv to go ahead and daven. Goyim do not have to daven. But can they daven? Will they get a mitzvah if they do? So it seems like they will get a mitzvah. Why? Kimifurish bikra, because the pasuk in Yeshaya tells us, the pasuk we're going to be reading a lot coming up in just a few weeks, ki vesi beis tefillah yikare lechol ha'amim, because it's a beis tefillah for all nations. And Rashi says, upirish Rashi sham, velo Yisrael levadim, not just the Jewish people have the ability to daven, anyone can daven. So therefore, look at the next bold part. Even though the non-Jews are pater from tefillah, they don't have to daven. Osin mitzvah. They're still doing a mitzvah. The imlokein, because if not so, eiza shevachu b'masha yikra beis tefillah l'chol amim. Im ein lahanachrim shom mitzvah b'tefillasam. Of course, it says, ki beisi beis tefillah yikarei l'chol amim. Anyone who wants to daven to Hashem has the ability to daven to Hashem. If it wasn't true, then why would the pasuk say it? So of course they're going to get a mitzvah. But there's no chiyuv. They don't have to. It's just that they can and they'll get a mitzvah. But look at the underlined bold part. I got so excited I had to bold it and underline it. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, Aval nira la'anias daiti, dihu rak likbo achiyuv lehispalel, af kishe ein lo tzorech miyuchal levakesh eze davar. So they are not chayiv to, and they only have the ability to go ahead and daven if they want to. That's only true when they don't have a specific thing they're struggling for. But when they do have something that they are desperately in need of, if they have a chola in their house, someone is very sick, or they're struggling financially, they're struggling parnasa-wise, they just got fired from their job. Even non-Jews are going to be chayiv. And don't ask me, oh, this isn't one of the Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Why? Mishum dezehu ikar ha'emuna b'Hashem. Because this is the ikar of emuna, shirak hu ha'nosein parnasa v'harofei cholim. Because only Hashem is the one who gives us parnasa. We work hard and we have to put in our ishtavos, but only Hashem is the bottom line who is going to determine what we are going to make. And only Hashem is the one who's going to determine whether we are going to be healed by the sick, even though, of course, we go to doctors. When you don't believe in Hashem, it's as if you don't believe and that you are believing in other things. And believing in Hashem, so even though this wasn't one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach that Rosie helped me with, but they still certainly have to believe. Because, says Rav Moshe, the Goyim need to do the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, but if they're just doing the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach for no other reason other than this is just what we feel like doing, but nothing to do with Hashem telling me that we have to do it, then it's as if they didn't even fulfill it. So belief in Hashem is a prerequisite to go ahead and do any of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So of course, emuna b'Hashem is necessary, and the way to show our emuna is to go ahead and daven when the chips are down, when we need something desperately, when we're having a tough time. That's when we need to daven specifically. So we see this idea so beautifully expressed in this tshuva of Rav Moshe, that when things are tough, when we're having a tough time with something, we have to make sure to go ahead and daven. Now, we do know, and we have pointed out, just how crucial tefillah is, how it's something which is really something which defines a Jewish person. Understanding that Hashem is part of our lives in everything that we do, and davening and really including Hashem in our daily lives is something which is so fundamental, yet we know Chazal teach us that tefillah is something which is omen berumo shalolam. It's there in the upper world, it's one of the most important things, yet uvnei adam mezalzalim, but people don't take it seriously. And I don't think we have to look too far. Baruch Hashem, we have a wonderful shul of people who daven. But we know we've all been to places where davening is just not taken so seriously. And I can only talk about myself. Sometimes, even if I'm not talking, I'm not focusing properly. I'm not where I should be in terms of tefillah. Why? Why do we not take it so seriously? Hashem's up there and listening, and we know how important it is. We have to view it as if, you know, a baby, if someone has a newborn baby or an elderly, whatever it may be, they can't survive for a certain amount of time without help. They wouldn't be able to survive without someone there. That's the way we have to view it. Without Hashem's help, we are nothing. We're not able to do anything. And maybe, perhaps, when we view it like that, though, that's part of the reason why maybe we can't take tefillah as seriously, because no one likes feeling helpless. It's like what they say with hodah. What's hodah when you're thanking someone, when you're thanking Hashem? It's not just thank you, but it's also hodah is modeh, because we are admitting that we need someone else's help. It puts us in a vulnerable spot. It puts us in a helpless situation. No one likes feeling like that. That's why you'll find when someone's done a huge favor for someone else, they're kind of embarrassed around them. because it's something which is very difficult to do. But we have to be able to persevere through that feeling. We have to be able to understand, yes, it's true. We need Hashem in order to survive, and there's nothing to be ashamed of with that. That's something which is a beautiful thing, and something which we should know. We always have to turn to Hashem. In fact, the Gemara tells us that Chizkiyahu HaMelech was Gonaz the Sefer Refuos. There was what was called the Sefer Refuos back in the day, which was basically, simple understanding is that it was a book that had the cure to any disease. Now imagine if we had that right now, what kind of, how much money that type of book would go for, or how useful that book would be in terms of corona and whatever it may be. But there's a book that had the cure to every single type of disease. And Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, he put it into Chayram, he got rid of that book, he hid it, no one was able to find it. And everyone was saying, what are you doing? How can you do this? You're killing everyone. But he did this, and it was a good thing that he did. Chazal praise him for doing this. Now Rav Gifter asks, how could he do this? This is mamish pikuach nefesh. We talk about all the things that we tell people to do so as not to lose their life. This is something that was saving lives, cure to cancer, cure to everything, was found in this book. How is he allowed to just dispose of it? How is he allowed to just get rid of it? Now, it should be pointed out, the Rambam points out that if you think that this was like some magic healing book, absolutely not. This book was, the reason why he had to get rid of this book, he says in the Perush HaMishnayos, is because it had different medicines in there, and you know, any doctors here could tell you that, I mean, not me, but any doctors here could tell you that if you take the wrong medicines or the wrong thing, very high dosages of things, it's dangerous. So people were killing themselves because of this book. That's why the Rambam with a more rationalist approach, but many of the Rishonim say it was this book that contained every single cure to everything, and yet he was gone as it. So Rav Gifter asks, how can you do this? Pikuach nefesh! How are you able to do this? It's killing people! How is he, what's the heter? And yet Chazal praise him for this. So Rav Gifter explains, because Pikuach Nefesh is something which is obviously important, and we do take very seriously. We know you could be Docha Shabbos, you could be Docha anything to go ahead and save a life except for the big three. But Pikuach Neshamos is also a thing. If people didn't have to rely on Hashem at all, if people really all just thought that it's all about this book and nothing else, kind of the way certain people feel in terms of business, Kochim Yotzim Yadi, if we just felt like, oh, Hashem doesn't need to play a role, it's cute, thanks Hashem for asking, but we're good, we have this book, that's no good either. It's about the relationship. Having the relationship with Hashem is the key. That's why even though maybe women aren't chayv in certain elements of tefillah and certain things are zman grama, maybe a different chayv in terms of minyan, of course women are chayv in tefillah. What they're chayv in, okay, we can talk about that another time, but of course women are chayv to have this relationship with Hashem. The relationship is what it's all about. Bringing Hashem again into our lives is what it's all about. When the Brisker Rav would be giving etzah, some people would come to the Brisker Rav for advice, and why wouldn't you? He was a tremendous tzaddik and genius. So he'd be thinking about whatever quandary was placed in front of him, and he would stop and he would say, Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. I put my hope into Hashem. And someone once asked him, why are you doing this? We're in the middle of a conversation. Why are you doing this? And he says, you think that I can come up with any Eitzah by myself? Look where it comes from. Of course it's coming from Hashem. I need to ask Hashem for the Eitzah. Now, as we mentioned before, as we asked before, if we've expressed just how important it is and how fundamental tefillah is to what we've been doing and to everything that we do, why is it that it's so difficult for us? Why is it that people are so lax in it? And we expressed one answer is because people don't like feeling uncomfortable. People don't like feeling like we're dependent on others. It's not a nice feeling. It's not something good. But we have to train ourselves to remember that it's about the relationship. When we're able to be dependent on Hashem, then we're able to bring the relationship. But I think there's another element to the answer of why it's very difficult. And I think it comes down to something which is something that we all struggle with. And part of the answer is you know, unfortunately, we've been disappointed so many times. How many times have we davened for a challah that hasn't made it? How many times have we davened for a shidduch that someone just hasn't been able to find? Davened for children, davened for parnasa that we just haven't been able to make, davened for certain things in our lives that just didn't work out. And it's a deflating feeling. We think, what was the purpose of this? I just spent hours upon hours crying for this challah to feel better, for this person to feel better, and then they just passed away. I can't believe I just wasted my time. And it's a deflating feeling. But what we have to do, what our avodah is when it comes to tefillah, is to understand and to recognize that no tefillah goes to waste. No matter what, if you have a sincere tefillah, if you are davening in a sincere way, pleading and begging to Hashem, even if we don't get the answer that we think is right, even if we don't get the answer that we were hoping for, we have to understand that these tefillos do not go to waste. This is what we see in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu. Just last week's parsha of Eschanan El Hashem, the Gematria is 515, because Moshe Rabbeinu asked 515 times. So he davened 515 times to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael, and he was not allowed to. So what, was it a tremendous waste of time? Chazal teaches, no, absolutely not. Not only was it not a waste of time, those tefillos saved us many times throughout our history. So it's true, it didn't work for that specific thing. God has a bigger plan that we can't always understand. It's true, it did not work to get him into Eretz Yisrael, but those tefillos, Those tefillos were super powerful. Those tefillos were so important to everything that we do. This is Esther Waxman, who's the mother of Nachshon Waxman, whose husband actually just passed away. Nachshon Waxman was someone who was a soldier who was hitchhiking home one time and was kidnapped by terrorists who were wearing Hasidic garb, listening to Hasidic music, and he was kidnapped. And their amount of tefillah there was unbelievable. Everyone was davening, and they wanted to do a prisoner swap, but they decided to just go in and try to do a raid, and the mission failed, and he was killed. And there was just a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous amount of tefillah that went into this. And her husband, Nachshon's father, right after was, you know, at the 10-year yard site. She said that the goal of her husband, the goal of their family right after all of this happened, was to make sure that people didn't lose hope. They got together, and there were hundreds of thousands of people at the Kotel all davening, and they shouldn't think that those tefillos went to waste. They shouldn't think that Hashem wasn't listening. And he said, in fact, Hashem is listening, but sometimes a parent says no. We don't always understand why, but we do believe. Just like when the parent brings you to the dentist and has the drill in your mouth. Come on, why are you doing this? Is this really something which is better for me? Yes, it is something which is better for you. You just don't understand why it's better for you. Hashem sometimes says no, but we have to know that no tefillah goes to waste. And we see this throughout the Torah. Look at source number 7. In source number 7, the Torah is telling us about Sodom and Amorah. So it's talking about how Hashem's going to destroy Sodom, all of the terrible things that were happening in Sodom, right? Avram and Lot were together. Avram said, I can't stay with you. You pick a place and I'll go to the other place. So Lot decided to chase after the money, and Lot wanted to go to Sodom. So Lot went to Sodom, but then all of the terrible things that were happening in Sodom caused Hashem to go ahead and need to destroy Sodom. So the Torah says that he's about to go ahead and destroy Sodom. Vayakumu Misham. If you look in Parshas Vayera, the first pasuk, Vayakumu Misham Ha'an Hashem Vayashkifu Al Pnei Sodom. So the men went and looked over Sodom. This is talking about the Malachim who were going to destroy Sodom. The Avram Halich Imam the Shalcham. And Avram was walking to see them off, right? They were going and visiting Avraham, who just had the Bris Milah. He was sick. And then they were going, or the other angels were going to go and destroy Sodom. And Avram was there. And this is the plan. They're going to destroy Sodom. Then the pasuk says, V'Hashem Amar HaMechaseh Ani Me Avram Asher Ani Oseh. Can I really hide this from Avram? You know, Avram's my man. Avram's my best friend. Am I really able to go and hide this from Avram? I need to go and tell them about this. I need to tell him. Then the psukim would have said, okay, so he told Avram, we would think, what it should say is that Hashem told Avram, and then Hashem went ahead and went through with his plan to go ahead and destroy Sodom. But in a very strange order in the psukim, the Torah tells us, V'Avram hayu yeh l'goy gadol v'atzum, that Avram is going to become a great nation, v'nivrichu bo kol gayei haaretz, and all the nations of the earth are going to bless themselves by him. And then it says, Ki yadatav l'man asher yitzaves banaves beiso acharav, and it's talking about how amazing the family of Avram is going to be. And then, only after those two psukim, Vayomer Hashem Zaka Sodom Va'amora Ki Rabba V'chadosam Ki Chavda Me'od, and then he's talking about how he's going to destroy. So, one second. Let's just get the story here. The story is, Hashem's going to destroy Sodom, he's going to tell Avraham, and then he goes ahead and sees and he does it. But why those two psukim talking about that Avraham's going to become great? So the Dibna Magid, I heard a beautiful idea from Rabbi Fran. The Dibna Magid explains beautifully, and he says, let's break the psukim up in a bit of a different way. Hashem wants to destroy Sodom. He says, I need to tell Avraham. Now, let's add a little bit to that story. Hashem says, you know, I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen because I know I'm destroying Sodom. I need to tell Avraham about it because, you know, Avraham's my guy. So I need to tell him about it, but I know what's going to happen. Avraham's going to go ahead and daven. And he's going to pour his heart out. No, save these people. And he does. We see it later. He says, oh, maybe there's 50 tzaddikim, 40 tzaddikim, 30 tzaddikim. Avraham's going to go and spill out his heart. And he's not going to get the result he was hoping for. They're not going to be saved. And us reading the Torah, we might think, oh my gosh, Avraham just wasted so much time. He just wasted so much of an effort to go ahead and daven when it didn't work. It was never going to work. What a waste of time that tefillah was. Comes the Torah and tells us, right after, V'Hashem Amar Mechaseh Ani Me Avram Asher Ani Oseh, am I really going to hide this from Avram? Avram davens? And then the Torah tells us, look how amazing Avram's children became. Look how incredible and powerful and accomplished his children became and what came from Avram Avinu. It's showing us this idea that no tefillah goes to waste. It's true, the tefillah didn't work in that context. It didn't work for that situation. But it certainly does not go to waste. And it's something that Hashem wanted to teach us, Ladoros. It's something that Hashem wanted to teach us for all future generations. My friend told a story of a family in Eretz Yisrael, a very, very secular family, really had nothing to do with Judaism at all. And one time there was this guy who was in Tel Aviv, a 20-year-old kid who was in Tel Aviv, and he passed by a shul, and they were waiting outside because they only had 9. They needed a 10th for mincha. So they said, oh, mincha, mincha, mincha. So he said, no, I'm good. And they asked him, no, please, you're number 10. He said, no, leave me alone, bug off. So then they said, please, we're begging you. So he finally agreed, and he didn't have to do anything, just stand there. Okay, fine. So he goes in, and he was just taken by the silence during davening, and the focus during davening was something that was so impressive to him. In fact, if you look at MetLife Stadium, when it comes to the guards, you know, all the stories of the guards seeing all those Jews together at MetLife Stadium for the Siyum HaShas, one of the things they consistently talk about is not just the amount of people and not about the other stuff and the politeness, which Baruch Hashem has been something which they've reported back positively on, but seeing how quiet it is during Shemona Esrei, how focused. Like, they try to have a moment of silence for whatever it is, but this is just a different entity. It's a different being. You see the silence of Shemona Esrei, and one thing led to another, and this kid ended up becoming from. So, you know, you can imagine all of this kid's parents who were definitely not really religious at all. They were all saying, what did you do wrong? Where did you go wrong? What happened to your son? Why is he so religious? What's going on? So the parents said back, the father said, well, I could tell you where I think it comes from. My father was a very religious man, and he davened all the time. Actually, in that shul that this kid happened to be walking by, that was the shul of the grandfather. And the grandfather always davened every single day that I, the father of this boy, should come back and be more on the derech. And didn't work for me, but look at the tefillos. The tefillos never go to waste, even if it's not during this generation, even if it's not during this specific crisis or thing that we think that we need. We have to keep this idea in mind that no tefillah goes to waste. But what's even maybe not more important, but something which is a parallel to this point, something which builds on this point, is also we have to believe in the power of tefillah. Part of the power of tefillah, part of the amazing element of tefillah, is that we need to believe that it's something that is possible. We need to believe that Hashem can do any Yeshua keherifying, that Hashem can save us at any moment and from any type of situation. We should never give up on tefillah. The Torah tells us even if you have the blade of a knife on your neck, you shouldn't give up, the Chazal teach us. You always got to be davening. You can never give up. And it's a vicious cycle, because once we think that the tefillah is not working, the tefillah is not powerful, then it's not as powerful, and then we just end up going in circles. And this is also something which we see throughout Tanakh. If you look at source number 8, source number 8 is the beginning of Shmuel Aleph. And the beginning of Shmuel Aleph tells us of the story of Shmuel being born. So who were Shmuel's parents? So Shmuel's father was Elkanah. Right, Elkanah had two wives. There was Hannah, who was the mother of Shmuel, and Penina. And if you look at the beginning of the story, so Penina was having tons of kids, and Hannah was unable to have a kid. And she was devastated by this, and it's a very tough thing for so many people. Hannah was devastated, and every year they would daven, but nothing worked. And then eventually, if you look at Shmuel Aleph, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Ches, source number 8, Pasuk says, Vayomer la Elkanah isha Hannah, lama tivchi. So Elkanah said to Hannah, why are you crying? V'lama lo sochli? Why are you not eating? V'lama yira lev avecho? Why are you so sad? Hallo anochi tov lach me'asara banam? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Penina had 10 sons. Am I not better than 10 sons? Don't worry about it. Look, obviously it's not what you were hoping, but okay, cheer up. Look, I'm better than 10 sons and I love you very much. So don't be so down. Let's move on. Now, what ended up happening after that? So Hannah, after hearing this, was devastated. Hannah went to the Beis HaMikdash. She went to the Beis HaMikdash where she was davening her brains out. And we actually have many of halachos of tefillah. If you look in the Gemara Brachos, like Daf Lamed Aleph and whatever it may be, many of halachos of tefillah are learned out from Hannah because she has such a sincere tefillah, such a devoted tefillah. So Hannah went there. She was accused of being drunk by Eli HaKohen. When she was accused of being drunk, that's where we get the concept of when you accuse someone falsely, you give a bracha. So he gave a bracha that you should have a child, and they had a child. And it was Shmuel, and everything worked out from there. So the Gemara, though, not the Gemara, the Psukim, raise a bit of an interesting question that we would need to figure out. So Hannah was barren for 19 years. So this happened in the 19th year. So it was only this year, though, that she decided to go ahead and go to the Mikdash. Before this, she always sent Elkanah to the Mikdash. Why now did she decide to go to the Beis HaMikdash, right? She's now going and davening her mind out. She's going and having an amazing tefillah. Where was this for the last 18 years? Why only in year 19 did she do this? So they explain, because Elkanah was going. So if Elkanah was going, Elkanah was also a huge tzaddik. If he's going to be going to the Beis HaMikdash, then she doesn't need to go. So then the question is, what changed in year 19? If he was davening for her for those 18 years, what changed in year 19? And many of the Mefarshim point out that it's based on this pasuk. After this conversation, when Elkanah says, Hannah, don't worry about it. Look, you know, some people have kids, but you have me. So thank God you have me. Am I not better than 10 children? Am I not better than that? So Hannah realized something very important during that conversation. And Hannah realized, and she said, oh my gosh, he doesn't believe anymore. He doesn't fully believe in his heart of hearts that this is possible. He thinks I'm a lost cause. He doesn't think this is a possibility. Once you remove that notion, once you don't think that there's a possibility and you don't fully believe in tefillah, your tefillahs are not on the same level. And she said, okay, I can't trust Elkanah with this anymore. I have to go and do it myself. And she went ahead and did it herself, and the rest is history. But this idea of believing in tefillah, understanding that it could work, understanding that it is a part of our lives, it's something which is so important for every single thing that we are going to do. We know we talk about this idea that there's no atheist in a foxhole, that when the chips are down, when things are very tough, when there's an ace tzara, we go ahead and we pour our hearts out. Everyone has experienced things in their own lives that have just, you know, we just turn to Hashem. We just turn to Hashem and we say, Hashem, you got to help us. You got to help. And even if we're not experiencing tough times, it's very important to go ahead and just continue this relationship. Keep this tefillah. The Gemara says that we're supposed to be maktim tefillah litzara. We should make sure to daven before we have to have that tzara. Because you know what? Sometimes Hashem brings tzaras on people because he just misses them. He wants their tefillah. But we can beat that. If we're just davening well before, then we could beat that. Not saying if we daven well that nothing bad's going to happen, obviously. But keeping that relationship with Hashem is something which is so crucial. And it's something which will change our lives. Now, how do we do this? It's very nice to talk about this stuff. But just one quick piece of advice. When we say Shemona Esrei, and we say, Hashem sifasai tiftach ufi agiti osak, Hashem should open my mouth and let the words come out. Take a minute to remember what we're doing and where we're standing. You look in our main shul. What does it say on top of the Aron Kodesh? Da lifnei mi ata omed. Look and understand, know before whom we stand. And it's something which is difficult to remember sometimes because we're there with people and whatever it may be. Okay, now we're socially distant, but still, it's hard to remember sometimes. But understanding that we're about to take part in a conversation between the King of Kings and ourselves, we're talking to Hashem. Now, it's hard to keep focus for the entire time. Yes, that's true, and we space out, and even if we space back in, just pick up from there and go. But to understand that we're talking to the Melech Malchei Amlachim, and we say Hashem Sifasai Tifnach, that Hashem should help us be able to articulate these words. It's something which is so crucial. It's the fact Rav Chaim talks about. He says if someone doesn't realize that he's standing in front of Hashem, you don't realize that the Shechina is Kenegdo, it's as if you did not daven at all. You're not even Yotzei Tefillah. Imagine going up to Shemayim when we've been going to shul for years, but we're not going to get any credit for any of it. Hopefully that won't happen, and we don't have to worry about that, but something to think about. Just know who we're standing in front of. Know what we are doing. So just to review what we've done, we had the Machlokas, Rambam and the Ramban, whether tefillah is d'oraisa. So the Rambam says that it is, and the Ramban disagreed. But the Ramban agreed, though, that when there's an ace tzara, when there's a difficult time, a difficult moment, then we certainly do have to go ahead and daven. And we pointed out, the Rav had this whole idea that the Machlokas is really how we define an ace tzara. The Rambam agrees you only need a daven be ace tzara, but every second of our lives is an ace tzara because we need Hashem for everything. And we pointed out that this is such a crucial idea to remember because this shows that we mamish believe in Hashem. We're maminim. This shows that we truly do have the proper emunah in Hashem. And this is what we saw from the tshuva of Rav Moshe about goyim davening. Normally, it's just a mitzvah for them, but they don't have to. But when there's a tough time, when there's a difficulty, of course they have to. Even though it's not one of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, it's the prerequisite for all of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, because without that, you're not going to be yotzei of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. You have to have a basic understanding that Hashem runs the world, that Hashem is the one who's going to have your cholef feel better. Hashem is going to be the one who's going to give you that parnasa. That you got to understand. That's got to be part of it. That's what we do. But we pointed out that still, we have a very tough time. We know it's so important, but we have a very tough time with tefillah. It's something which is not easy. We pointed out that one of the reasons it's not easy is because makes us realize that we're helpless. We need Hashem. And sometimes it's difficult to feel that way. But a different reason we pointed out why it's difficult is because unfortunately we've been disappointed many times. We've had that shidduch, that child, or the chole, or the parnasa, that we just haven't seen the Yeshua. We never saw the salvation. It's something which could be deflating. But what we have to remember, what we should take out of tonight, is to never give up on tefillah, to understand that no tefillah ever goes to waste. And we've seen this with Moshe Rabbeinu, we've seen this with Nachshon Waxman, and we've seen this with Avram Avinu. His tefillah that he was davening for the people of Sodom caused him to be an amazing nation. That's why the Torah specifically goes out of its way to tell us this. And we also have to understand that we have to believe in the power of tefillah, like Chana. Chana understood that once Elkanah wasn't believing, it's hopeless. She's not going to be able to have her tefillahs answered when that's going to be the situation. But it's on us. We got to start. We got to be maktim tefillah letzara, mir tashem. We should be able to take a few extra seconds, Hashem sivasai tiftach, to think about what we're going to say, to think about what we're going to do. Hashem knows what's going on in our heads throughout the day. Bring Hashem into our day. If we can't find a parking spot, daven to Hashem. If you're having a tough time at work, or if you're having a tough time with whatever it may be, let the kids go to sleep, let this be good. Bring Hashem into our day. It's a tremendous opportunity that we have as we approach the Yomim Noraim. We should, Amir Tzashem, be able to keep this idea in mind and have all of our tefillos be answered in the ways that's best for us. Hopefully those ways that we think are best for us and the ways that we would want are aligned, but we know that that's not always true. And Amir Tzashem, we should only know of good things together as a community and as a people. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful night.